The Burt Show.
We all survived the snow this weekend. All survived. Everybody's here.
We didn't just survive. We thrived.
For the most part, this was a really, really fun snow.
It was.
It really was, right? I mean, I know there was a hassle of a bunch of people losing electricity for a while. Ours came and gone a little bit in Sandy Springs, but people had extended periods of time without power for a while.
That would suck.
That would really, really suck. Outside of that, this was a fun one because it was real snow.
Let me just say, I love how the city of Atlanta reacted to the snow. The shenanigans that was going down in Piedmont Park, the snow people that were being built that had giant booties and weaves on them.
Did you see the man skiing down the road? I'm like, who has skis here in Atlanta?
I thought Atlanta turned up, turned out, and did what they needed to do because we never get snow like this. And I was so excited for my three, almost four-year-old because Jimmy's never had a snow like that. So as soon as we had like a good blanket of it, it's like all the kids in the neighborhood descended upon our yard. We had a massive snowball fight with everybody. Some neighbors had some actual sleds, and we have a couple of hills in our neighbor's yard. So the kids were sledding. Of course, we built two different snowmen. They had the time of their lives, and it was so cool watching like core memories being made.
I feel like living in New York and Colorado most of my life. It's always fun to see places like Atlanta get snow and how people react to it. I don't think they understand how snowmen are supposed to work because they built snowmen around my way, but they kept building them where cars had to drive. So I think they did it to be evil and people had to hit the snowman. I was like, that's not the way that's supposed to go, but it was fun.
It might have just been because people couldn't literally see the road, because I was most nervous about driving home because as a Floridian, I'm used to driving in like really heavy rain, but I was like, this girl is not used to ice. But the one thing I found difficult about getting out in the roads was the fact that you couldn't see where the lines were. I'm like, am I driving on the sidewalk? Like, other than that, it was a winter wonderland.
So driving home yesterday, that was my same, because I was, I lived in Cincinnati for like a second, and I got into an accident. It snows there, it's cold there, it ices there. I hit a car, which hit a car. So it was like, it was gnarly. So I always freak out when I have to drive in that type of weather. So I got down in our parking lot. The first thing I did was called my husband, Bart. And I go, you're going to talk to me the entire way home. So from the station parking lot till I pulled into my driveway, I just had him on the phone. And every now and then I'd be like, I'm going down 400. I'm getting off the Lenox exit. I'm taking a left. Oh, good news. There's a cop in front of me. And there was a cop on 400 that would get off the exit and then turn around and go back and was just like cruising to make sure like nobody needed any assistance.
Some of y'all though, I mean, your natural selection at work, because building snowmen in the road, people were like jogging in the road or playing in the road at the bottom of hills. And I'm like, honk, honk, honk. No one's turning around. Then I'm like, honk, I'm coming through. I don't know if I can break. And this one dad flipped me off.
Oh, really?
They were sledding. They were playing with their kids in the middle of the road. It did look fun, granted. And I'm giving like light honks, like coming down. And then he flipped me off when I gave a longer honk and then continued to just sled down the road with his kid. And I was like, all right, it's snow day. It's like being in the airport. You can have beer at 10 a.m. Like rules don't apply. Same with Atlanta snow days.
I feel like driving around because we left the studio at 8 a.m. on Friday. We had a whole bunch of stuff recorded so we could leave early because it was supposed to snow and then the ice was supposed to come in.
And it did.
You can't drive on ice. You can drive on snow. So when we left here, it was all fresh powder. To me, that is like opening up the peanut butter and you having the first scoop.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that, right? And my son was supposed to come on over and see me on Friday. It was my custody weekend. And I said, if you're coming over, you got to do it early because the ice is coming in and I don't want you driving on that. And he has never driven on snow before. So I get home and then I get a call from him. He was going to drive down. I'm giving him instructions. Just take it nice and slow. Mm-hmm. Be careful for everybody that's out on the roads, but you will be fine, man. I was just out on it. It's just powder right now. Just take it slow. I get home and I get a call from him and I'm stuck. I'm like, what? What happened?
Oh, well, he's got a pickup truck. And I feel like because the bed is empty, is it easier to get stuck in a pickup truck?
Well, we thought he had all wheel drive on it and he doesn't. Oh. So he didn't even get out of his mom's driveway.
Oh, okay.
That's the best place to be stuck.
And the wheels started spinning on it. So I went over there and we dug it out. Neighbors came and helped us with shovels. We dug it out just enough to be able to reverse it like a foot and a half to get it out of the middle of the road back in his mom's driveway. And that was the only drama we had with the snow all weekend long. And the rest was just great. My dog, who I was so excited to go home and share snow with, I don't know if she's ever seen it for the first time. So I get over there, I start playing with her, and she couldn't care less. She hated everything about it, which could have been predicted.
Oh, I have a Bernese Mountain Dog. So Boone was like in his element. Oh, he's yeah? like, this is my weather. I will stay outside forever.
She couldn't care less. Ooh. Humorless, humorless dog.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
It looks like Blake Lively's antics could possibly be affecting another one of her movies. Or is she? So this all has to do with the sequel to a movie that came out a while back called A Simple Favor. They just shot the sequel, A Simple Favor 2.
It's such a good movie, by the way, if you haven't seen it.
It is a really good movie. So, of course, like, it deserved a sequel. They filmed it last year, and a user named @ofLululemon, but his name is Eric B. His little blue check mark, which I know you can pay for now, but it looked very legit to people when he put it out. He said, breaking, Amazon shelves A Simple Favor 2 indefinitely, despite glowing test screenings. Blake Lively's refusal to promote amid her messy legal battle with Justin Baldoni and growing tensions with Anna Kendrick have derailed the sequel.
Oh, dude, if I was Blake, I wouldn't want to be making the circuit right now, because nobody's going to talk about A Simple Favor 2. They're just going to talk about Baldoni.
100%. Anna is furious. Paul Feig is disappointed. Hollywood is in shock. This isn't just a movie. It is an implosion. Here's the tea. So it's this whole like Twitter thread about all the rumors between what happened on A Simple Favor 1 and why A Simple Favor 2 is not happening. Apparently, A Simple Favor 1, Anna Kendrick and Blake Lively had this big feud about the movie poster and how Anna apparently looked better in it than Blake did. And Blake was mad about it. And that is what started their tension on the press junket and blah, 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 blah. The story's fake. Like, this is not a real story, but it looked so real because it got nearly 6 million views, thousands and thousands of likes. And even though you can still, like, even though you are paying for a blue check mark, I think it still registers in people's minds as something that's legit. Yeah. So when you see somebody with a blue check mark, you go, this guy, Eric B., knows what he's talking about. So Paul Feig recently spoke out about it to a bunch of news outlets. I read this on E! Online. He basically said, this is called post-production. It basically takes over half a year when you have to factor in editing and scoring and special effects and sound mixing and closed captioning. All these things take a long time, and our post-production schedule has always had us finishing everything by mid-January. We're still putting this thing out, so you are still going to get to see Blake Lively in A Simple Favor 2. We just don't know when, but it has not been shelved yet. So good news for movie fans.
So when it does happen, you know Blake Lively, that's going to be a hard press tour.
She won't take one. She won't do it. She won't be on tour. No. It all depends if it's in the contract or not, but yeah. I think even then they might just go, let's give her a break. Or the PR people are just going to be like, yeah, you can have her. You just can't ask her about anything except this movie.
When has that ever stopped you, sir?
Has never stopped me. Yeah. Well, we don't even take those interviews, really.
I mean, we don't.
When they offer them to us and they're like, you must stick to the movie, we're like, we don't do interviews where it's scripted and you are telling us what we can ask. So we will turn those down. But if I were her PR people, that's the request I would make. You might only be doing 3 interviews, but there are certainly shows that would take it just to have her on the show and just to say, hey, we had Blake Lively on.
Well, especially like the ones where you have everyone kind of going in like in those like dark rooms and the people that are only in there for 5 to 10 minutes, like they've got to get a certain amount of questions out there. So I feel like those are going to be safe where it's like, okay, I've only got 5 minutes. The last thing I want to do is get kicked out after 1 minute. So I don't think she's going to totally avoid the press tour when this movie comes out. But I do think that there will be some guardrails for sure. Like, I don't think we're going to see her on a bunch of red carpets answering like a bunch of questions.
I've said this before, as an interviewer, you can ask any question. You just have to be skillful about it and hope they take the trap. Like in a case like this, you might say, what did you learn on the set of this movie that you had never learned in any movie that you have done before? And hope that she takes the trap of talking about something before, that's when you can go in.
Well, when I was on the set of It Ends With Us and Justin Baldoni.
Chances are pretty good she's not going there.
Yeah. Okay, this is pretty wild. So Ricky Lake says a Hollywood medium may have predicted her house burning down 3 months ago. So if you have somehow missed this, LA is completely on fire. It is devastating. So many people have lost their homes in their communities. But Ricky Lake was recently on with medium Tyler Henry, and she posted this on her Instagram, and she said that he talked about her losing things in a house fire.
Keep in mind, there might end up being a coincidence where not only do we lose something, and I don't know how to articulate this without like, it sounding concerning. I think this may have already happened. If there was a loss of material objects from both fire and water, though, that's the kind of weird distinction. It's two separate things. So we're going to end up finding that there's a story where, like, there was a house fire or something along those lines. A fire risk. But they're separate from that. And this is got a little bit, it might end up being a little bit more pertinent. We had, like, a really bad storm and our basement flooded and got a bunch of pictures ruined and we couldn't ever bring them back. There's just something about watching water seepage into a place it shouldn't and damaging
things. Okay. So as far as I know, I don't know if there's any water involved, but still kind of freaky.
It is, right? Joe Rogan had a video that was going viral the last couple of days also, because I'm not sure if it was months or years ago, where he had interviewed somebody, and he was talking about being on the set of Fear Factor, which is what he hosted for a while, and talking to somebody within the fire industry that said, man, all firefighters in Los Angeles just kind of know this, that when the winds are going to kick up, it's just a matter of time before L.A. burns to the ground. Now, this was years ago.
Wow.
And he was just telling the story, and it had nothing to do with these fires. But apparently, it has been a thing, knowing that this could very well happen in the perfect storm of wind conditions, that L.A. would burn to the ground.
And dryness.
And dryness, and here it is.
Oh, my God. All right, well, it seems like every artist wants to go country nowadays, and now an unexpected group has collabs with Dolly Parton, Lainey Wilson, and Dasha coming out. You will never in a million years guess who it is, and it's on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
If you are a sports fan and you really know your stuff, now is the time to capitalize. It is playoff season. Look, I've been using Prize Picks for a while now. Let me tell you something. It's fun to win. It's a dopamine hit. I'll tell you what, even if it's a $10 bet. Sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play just $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It is guaranteed. Prize Picks is the best way to win real money this football season. And the football season is coming to an end. Which players are gonna go off? Which ones aren't? Make your picks in less than 60 seconds. Turn your sports opinions into real money all season long. Or I should say all playoff season long. Download the app today and use the code BERTSHOW, BERTSHOW, and you're gonna get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Let me repeat that. Download the app and use the code BERTSHOW and you're going to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. Run your game. Kind of throw this slang word around too much. Psycho. Oh, I stopped seeing her because she's psycho. But what if you really were?
Yeah.
And how would you know it if you were?
I have the telltale sign.
Okay.
A new study published in the Archives of Sexual Behavior has uncovered that lady psychopaths are less likely to, any guesses? Lady psychopaths are less likely to what?
Well, we could have done this for a Lose Birch money.
Well, we could have.
Uh-huh.
Take accountability.
No.
Less likely.
Well, I'm in... it's got to be clean because this is the 6 a.m. hour,
yes.
But I'm very interested in the people that conducted the study.
Yes. Well, the Archives of Sexual Behavior, but yeah, no, it's extremely clean.
Well, take a look at your characteristics.
Are you ready for this?
What have you not done in a while?
Abby, you and I are both guilty of it today.
Today?
Both
today.
Guilty?
Today?
Okay, so say that again. Female psychopaths are least likely to...
The Archives of Sexual Behavior has uncovered that lady psychopaths are less likely to...
Put on makeup.
Yep.
Nailed it!
Okay.
Just say I'm busted, Mo.
Just say I looked bad this morning. Now, there's more to it than Abby and I rolling in here every morning without makeup. That in and of itself does not make us a lady psychopath. Okay.
Now, why does it say why that specific thing? Because that is very curious to me.
So scholars from the University of Sao Paulo asked 1,410 Brazilian women about their cosmetics usage across different social contexts: home, first date, business meeting, gym. And then the volunteers were subsequently asked to complete surveys to measure their dark triad traits.
Dark triad traits.
Machiavellianism, narcissism, and psychopathy. Apparently, that's the dark triad. So women who scored highly on the psychopathy scale were less likely to put on lipstick, eyeliner, and blush in social situations. So this isn't surprising because psychopaths are generally, they're unbothered by how they're perceived by others. So for instance, like last night we had our Burt's Big Adventure orientation and I had like a full face of makeup. So it's like,
you don't want to scare the kids the first time they're meeting me.
Hard facts, bro. Hard facts. So like, you know, Abby, I know when you go out on dates, when you go out for your girl, like, you know, we don't want to be as busted as we are now. So we'll do a beat, right?
I'll do a little contour, a little blush, a little mascara.
But here it's like all day, every day. Don't care who I encounter. Don't care who I meet, I am unbothered. That apparently is a sign of being a psychopath.
Okay, so if you're totally and completely secure in yourself and don't care what anybody thinks, that makes you a psychopath?
According to the study. Okay. All right, there's one other sign that a woman might be a psychopath, and this is according to academics from the University of New Mexico, and they found that female psychopaths are more likely to move their heads when they talk.
What?
Okay. All right.
And breathe. Yeah, right. And some of a blink.
It's getting crazy now.
Now, what the study authors said, nonverbal behaviors, i.e. head dynamics, represent an important yet understudied form of communication that may enhance our ability to detect certain forms of psychopathology, including psychopathy. Now, I use my hands a lot. Uh-huh. And I don't know if it can apply in here because we have to turn our heads to look at people at their mics. So I don't know if Abby and I fall under that category, but we definitely don't wear makeup anymore.
Maybe this job is making us psychopaths. That's all I heard.
Oh,
it's possible.
So it's not, once again, it's not our fault. We're not crazy. It's people have drove us crazy.
Exactly.
If we all were completely healthy people, we would not be doing this for a living.
Facts.
That would be boring. That's a good point.
The Burt Show.
People around you and your friends want you to do well, so long as you're doing not as well as they are, right? Mondays, we reserve for Monday mantras. We'll see something online that kind of connects with us, and we're like, oh, got to share this with Burt Show fam.
So Tyler Perry was doing an interview on a Keep It Positive Sweetie show, and I thought that was something that somebody, a lot of people can relate to. We always talk about how the journey is lonely, and it's lonely at the top, and when you are trying to become the best version of yourself, there are going to be a lot of trials and tribulations throughout the process of where people may be jealous of you, or people may betray you, or people may turn on you. And he just speaks to how you have to know in life when these things happen, they're actually happening for you. They're not happening to you, because a lot of the times when you have a lot of too many people on your boat, they'll start poking holes in it because they're not exactly happy about your success. Mm-hmm.
You got to be careful, because when you put too many people on the boat, there's some trying to put holes in it because they want it to sink because they don't like that you're sailing. Sometimes in your life, you're spinning up to the next level and people start to fall off and it hurts. Mm-hmm. It's lonely, especially when it's somebody that you really, really loved and had a great time with and wish that they could be there with you. But you have to understand and realize that toxicity is poison to your wings. Mm. It will cause you to crash. So you have to be able to say, I love you, but I'm sorry, this does not work for me anymore.
Yeah.
Then you get you bougie, you changing. Oh, no, now you got all this and you don't want, none of that matters. Walk through the pain of the loneliness. The higher you go, the smaller that circle gets. Jealousy will show up in ways that you didn't even expect it. And people who've been right under you as long as you didn't exceed what they thought you could be. The minute you start to go higher than they believed you could go, it's ugly.
I think that's why a lot of people lose friends during relationships also. This isn't just a money thing, but I think there's jealousy when you see a friend that used to be single with you all the time, and now they're not single and they're in a happy relationship. Sometimes they try to bring you out of that.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the time, a lot of people can't necessarily deal with or deal with the best seeing other people just do something that they wish they were doing.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate, but a lot of times people want what you have, not what you are willing to give them, and they'll show that at times.
This is the whole thing that you went through with your friend, right?
The one
who wanted you to split a room with somebody?
Yeah, well, yeah, in a way, I think he had, yeah, because he got used to kind of being the alpha male in the group. He was always doing the best. He was always the most successful. And I think at some point when I started to catch up a bit, it rubbed him the wrong way. Yeah. And I don't know if that's the where it came from, the base of where it came from, but I think it had something to do with it for sure. Oof.
From the success standpoint, I mean, you know this directly applies to you and some people in your life. I've witnessed
yes,
it.
Yes, I do. yeah, in an enormous way.
Yeah.
It has really affected me a lot through the years. And it's a lesson I didn't want to learn either. Because I like to believe the best in people at first until they prove you wrong.
You're an idiot.
And you want to believe that the people that are around you are supporting you until you do too well. And then you never know what they're doing behind the scenes.
You are so pretty.
I know, right?
I let them prove me wrong about 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, right. All right, Abby, you got one here also.
Yeah, for me, I'm a realist, and I feel like I've missed out on a lot of opportunities or places for personal growth because I wasn't delusional enough. You know how people always say you got to fake it till you make it? Mm-hmm. Just because sometimes you have to have a little bit of blind confidence in order to go places that you've never been before. And for me, I have that voice in my head that's like, who do you think you are? Why do you think you're going to do that? I know you. You're crazy. You're borderline psychopath, now wearing makeup and all like this crazy stuff in my head. And so when I saw this clip from Mel Robbins, who reframed what it meant, what it means to fake it till you make it, I thought, I can actually get on board with this kind of thinking.
Act like the person you want to become. That's not fake it till you make it, by the way. This is intentional. Intentionally act like the person you want to become. Because when you intentionally act like the person you want to become, your brain sees you taking those actions, so your brain starts to change the way it relates to you. When your brain sees you high-fiving yourself in the mirror, it starts to go, oh, wait a minute, Steven loves himself. Steven's cheering for himself. We don't beat Steven up.
It's almost like you have to retrain your brain, which is a weird thing to think about. Like as a certified control freak, I've always kind of felt not victim to my own brain, but sometimes I feel like we can get lost in these thought patterns or these situations that we constantly find ourselves in life. And sometimes we feel like we're a victim of who we are or who we were born with, but we actually have so much control over the things that our brain tells us. So you can really rewire the way that you will respond to certain situations with enough practice.
Now, this is an excellent reminder, and this is hitting me at the perfect time. And I adore Mel Robbins and what she stands for and what she does. Because I've been dealing with a lot of I'm not good enough lately. Mm. And so it's that reminder to like high five yourself in the mirror and get rid of that imposter syndrome and realize you are capable. You can do this. You are enough. You're a badass.
You know what I have found also is that when you do make the change to becoming the person that you want to be, your group starts to change also. As you make the change and start leveling up, the people you naturally surround yourself start leveling up either, or you just start attracting different people into your life.
I think it's an energy thing. I think you, like they say, different energy attracts different energy. Mm. So when you elevate yourself, you probably do attract people and not even realize it unconsciously that'll elevate as well. Yeah.
The Burt Show.
All right, the deep part of this show is over. Here's Kaylee.
Damn. Hey, I got that energy, baby.
Yeah, you do.
That BDE.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
I'm about to bring it. No.
All right, so this all has to do with that sink that your wife just hacked through to get to a bunny?
Well, no, that was my sink. That was underneath my sink where when she brought this new bunny home the first night, she was setting up its headquarters in my bathroom, and she put
bunny,
it down.
Bunny HQ.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And for some whatever the reason, it found a little slot underneath, like, the vanity, and we couldn't get it out. And
so you guys have a double vanity, and as you do when you are married or you are, you know, coexisting in a place, you're living together. Like, when you walk into our primary bathroom, Bart's sink is to the left, mine is to the right.
Exactly.
Like, you have, that is your sink.
Yes. All right, how often does your stuff cross over into the border onto his sink?
All day, every day.
Yeah. That is a load right there. Well, you get about 25% of your side before it starts leaking over.
That's the counter. I don't use a sink.
Yeah, it's just a counter.
That's all he gets is the sink.
Well, for the most part,
you
there's
get a bowl
no.
And that's it, babe.
If it was a double vanity that was on the same counter, but ours are across from each other.
Oh,
our walk-in
different.
Closets are across from each other. She has her side. I have my side.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, that's different because I find myself deporting lotions.
Deporting
from my side of the bathroom all the time. Yeah. Lotions and hair stuff has to be deported.
Yep. Yeah, I might steal stuff from her side. But anyway, so now this is our shower. So she ripped into the bottom of my vanity to remove the bunny and save its life. Okay? So I have a broken vanity under the wood underneath's broken, but we started getting a leak. My master bathroom is above the garage, and we started getting like these spots on the ceiling, and then we had to cut it and try to figure it out. And I'm like, is it the window that is leaking, or is it the shower? And so after some investigation, I determined that the grout or the sealant that like basically goes in between your tile, I'm no expert, has over time started to wear. And so I can almost see there's space now, which led me to believe it was the shower, because after someone took a shower, water started dripping from the ceiling.
It seems simple to deduce that's what it was.
Correct. So, now I am no handyman, and I do not have a ton of experience. While I have rolled up my sleeves from time to time to do some house projects with a more experienced person leading the way, I'm a great student, and I can, you know, come along. This time, I'm like, oh, how hard could it be? I'm going to go get some sealant, some, like, you know, weather or just waterproof, and I'm going to reseal the shower and all the joints. All the area around. Yes.
I find as a general rule in life, when a guy asks himself, how hard can this be? It's way harder than you think it's going
to
be.
Well, there's a technique to it, and I've watched people do it. Like, I'm sure Bart can go in with, it's like a gun, you put this, you know.
Caulking it.
Yeah, I'm caulking it. Huh? Yes. So I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to re-caulk. I'm going to seal some stuff, okay?
You stop.
Just the word caulk's doing it for you.
No, it was him. It's like a gun. It's just trying to
describe it. You're caulking it.
All right. Anyway, so I get in there.
We're starting to understand why you're... wife is a little miffed at what you did.
I did a good job.
Oh, you did you?
I did. I sealed it, okay? Uh-huh. And so
you sealed it real good?
Real good.
With that PDE.
Yeah, that's right.
Are we sure?
Oh, you have no idea.
his caulk works really well.
Yeah, it's the best in the business. So there is a technique with working with your caulk.
You don't say.
So, like, Bart probably could go in and they, you know, you pretty much squirt along the lines. Uh-huh. And most contractors I've seen, they take one finger and they kind of just swipe it across to kind of smooth it out. Now, and they don't get it all over their hands. I'm not used to that. Like, I'm sitting there.
So you have caulk all over your hands.
All over my hands. I have.
You're covered in caulk?
I'm covered in caulk.
Caulk everywhere.
And there is caulk everywhere. Now, so I go and I'm like, man, I need a towel. It is all over.
Yeah.
I'm not. And
women
I go grab
understand.
A towel that was on my side.
Uh-huh.
And apparently this particular towel might have been around the area where I had manscaped.
Oh, no.
Time out. Next time you submit a story like this, you need to give me a little more information so I know where to schedule it properly, because we have now crossed the line and this should be in the 9 o'clock.
You should just know this about him.
No, this isn't going to get gross. Or any grosser than I just want to say.
So you're saying your shavings attached to the caulk?
Yes, and it's like, so now
you have a hairy shower?
Yes. And it's like a Jackson Pollock of hair and sealant.
Oh my god.
But it doesn't leak.
Please get out of here.
It doesn't leak.
No,
though.
But there's there's a tool that you can remove the caulk and you can reapply it.
Oh, because she, my wife said, you are disgusting. There's hair. Just in, it's not coming off. It's in the sealant.
The story of Kaylee's hairy caulk.
The Burt Show.
You're just sitting there with your dog when somebody approaches you and they make an offer to buy your dog from you. Okay. Chew on it for a second. Would you take them up on that offer or not? So there is a viral video going around over the weekend where it appears to me to be a mother and a daughter sitting on a park bench somewhere with what looks like a brand new puppy. I mean, it might be 12 weeks old, so they it's probably new to the family, right? And this guy approaches them with a bundle of money and makes this offer.
How much? How much?
He's not for sale.
Here you go. No?
No.
You're welcome.
Not for sale.
What about
baby?
What if I give you like $100?
No. Not even.
What about 5,000? Check it out.
That's our baby.
For $5,000, you probably didn't pay more than like $200 for this dog.
And
you
could get
it. You could just get a new one.
Well, he's a family member.
What,
your dog,
what about $30,000?
Oh. Want to
be $30,000 just for one little puppy.
This is our dog. This is our puppy.
This is the last I got. $70,000. That's all I got.
Not to sell.
$70,000.
Nope.
Look at it.
Dog or money? Dog or money?
No.
She don't.
Yours. Put him in the briefcase.
You selling me the dog?
Yep.
Here's the last one.
That's yours.
Okay. Excuse me.
And then they exchange money.
No, they did not.
They did. They gave him the dog. They got the $70,000.
For $70,000?
$70,000.
Wow.
Now,
wow.
That influencer is at Joey Salads. So, Abby, you have yourself a brand new kitten. Only been in the house now for a week and a half, 2 weeks. There you are. You're at Piedmont Park, and somebody approaches you as you're taking your little kitty for a walk and makes you the same offer.
Well, I think it depends on the circumstance, because if a grown man approaches me and is like, give me your cat for, you know, $100,000, I'm going to be looking at this guy and be like, I'm a little bit concerned about what's going to happen to my cat once you get it. But if it's like a nice, sweet old lady and she offers me some money for this kitten I just got a week ago, for $100,000 in cash, I'd give her the cat.
This was $70,000. The guy looked like he was in his mid-20s, maybe late 20s. And I don't know anything about his background at all. But just being based on being a dude in his 20s, you wouldn't sell it?
It seems a little suspicious to me. It's a little sus.
Yeah, if I was sitting there with my kid, I mean, the minute he approached and started offering, I would have been like, you're creeping me out. Walk away from us now. Or I would have taken my kid and I would have walked away from him. Because that's an uncomfortable situation to be in.
Okay, based on Mo's facial reaction and my facial reaction at the same time, it might be a little different.
I mean, it's tough for me to say, honestly, because I don't have a pet and I don't know that connection, but it's hard for me to believe I would give my pet up for $70,000.
Depends on your circumstances. Like, if you were having a hard time feeding your kids.
That's it right there.
Oh, well,
You know what I mean? But.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody offered me $70,000 for my bulldog now, I'd say no. But when I was in college, I'd say, she's great. Have a good time.
For 70?
She's really, really great. You're going to have a great time with that dog. All right, Mo, why are you mad today, man?
All right, I started the year off saying in 2025, I will listen and I will not judge. But Drake is forcing me to come outside and do a little bit of judging, because I feel like he just keeps making it worse for himself ever since this Kendrick battle. I think most people felt like when Drake lost the battle, which was pretty clear, he should have just walked away. He should have just took a vacation, took some time off, figured himself out, came back with some music. It's not exactly what he chose to do. He released a freestyle called the Fighting Irish Freestyle, which it's named that, we believe, because LeBron James went to high school with the Fighting Irish. That was the name of his high school team. So Drake and LeBron allegedly had a brotherhood. They had a very strong bond. They were friends for years, so much so that Drake even has LeBron James tattooed on his arm, which I recently found out. I had no idea that was a thing. But he has a complete LeBron James tattoo of LeBron with himself, with his high school jersey on his arm.
Real quick, how would you feel if, like, your best friend came up and had a he showed you that he got a tattoo of you on his body?
It would be weird.
Yes.
It would definitely be weird. Yeah, no. Nah, I appreciate
you
it, but
flattered?
No. Nah, nah.
No.
Yeah, no, yeah. Don't do that. Okay. Don't do that. But Drake is Drake.
Yep.
And that's what he did. And so people are kind of split on if Drake has a right to be this mad at LeBron. And what it appears has happened is Drake is mad at LeBron, one, because LeBron appeared at the Kendrick Lamar concert. He didn't go on stage, but he was in the crowd with his wife. And two, there's a lot of videos that keep circulating of LeBron rapping Kendrick's lyrics while he's warming up. So Drake feels a way. And then some people are saying, hey, when Drake rooted for the Toronto Raptors because that's your team and you were rooting against LeBron, it wasn't personal. Yeah. That's just your team. Mm-hmm.
Good point.
You know, and others are saying that doesn't matter because they were so close that LeBron should have had his back. So Drake released a freestyle called Fighting Irish Freestyle. It's a diss to LeBron, and here is a sample of it.
Remember we traded watches, I gave you the Arabic dial, you gave me a numbered edition. You would even check up on my son like a pediatrician. Sure convinced the gang that was rooted in love when it isn't. Show me how different we are, there's blessings in juxtaposition. I guess now you boys gotta abandon your summer tradition. Cold shoulders I gave in the Hamptons, it come with the distance. Figured we was always gonna be close like ovens and kitchens. I was sadly mistaken, the loyalty wasn't a given.
It's all good.
Try the blues for you saying it wasn't malicious. Talking about we family, well, I'm not the cousin to visit. God forbid we ever gotta tarnish your public image. All that brother talk as if I really discovered a sibling. 6 degrees, my memories retrieving our humble beginnings. Wanted trouble, grabbed a shovel and dug up some ditches. Cover my body in dirt, but that wasn't mean.
So the line that I don't like, I'm not mad at Drake expressing himself. I'm not mad at him rapping and choosing to go at LeBron because he feels like LeBron was disloyal to him. And he feels like he abandoned him at a time when he needed him most. And a brother shouldn't do that. I'm here for that. Right. Betrayal hurts. I completely get it. But to say in that we have things that will ruin your public image.
The threats.
Here we go again.
Just that part to me was like, that's when you went too far. That was when Drake made it about Drake. And it was, I can't get with that.
Isn't he just tired, Drake, at this point, going through all these, man?
Honestly, not.
You gotta be, man.
I'm just
and,
tired.
At some point, when you sitting there writing a diss song about a dude that's tattooed on your body, like, you gotta realize you down pretty bad, and you gotta find another angle.
So is he just surrounded by a bunch of yes men? Is there nobody that would be like, man, this is good, but would point out, like, you're gonna lose everybody with the threat?
I think Drake spent a lot of years being on top. And you get yes men with that, obviously, and you get the people that are not there in your life for an opportunity. And I think once he finally found some turmoil and he wasn't the guy that was on top necessarily, he started to see who was really in his circle around him. And I think the things that he did to get to where he is, because he wasn't always stand up with everybody, is coming back to haunt him.
Yeah.
The Bert Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
I don't know what was in the air in 2024, but literally everybody decided to dip their toe into country. We had Beyonce finally come out with Cowboy Carter. We had Post Malone come out with an album that was all just all incredible country collabs with all of these major country artists. And there were even some artists thinking about going country that we haven't gotten music from them yet in the country genre, but they're thinking about it. We've heard Ed Sheeran working in Nashville. He's talked about wanting to do a country album. Chapel Roan, who had a killer year last year, is thinking about going country. She even put out one song already that has some country twang to it as well. But there is one group that I don't think anybody ever expected to go country, and they are set to have collaborations with the likes of Dolly Parton. There will be two songs with Dolly Parton, Lainey Wilson, and up-and-coming country artist named Dasha. Now, I know you guys are going to be shocked when I tell you that The Wiggles are coming out with a country album.
Oh, my God.
That is their most recent collab with Dasha. It's going to be off their album, Wiggle Up, Giddy Up, and it is 32 tracks. So you and your kids can get down to The Wiggles with a little country twang.
Because you said Lainey Wilson, it triggered, I finished Yellowstone.
Oh, you did?
I did. Over the holiday break, okay. I went through and binged the whole fifth season.
Yep.
Watched the first part, watched the last part. And I hate how much I love this show.
Yes, I know, man. People were ripping on it. I had no beef with it at all.
I didn't. I had no beef with how to end it. Yeah. Actually, I kind of knew, not with what happened with Beth and Jamie. Obviously, didn't foresee that. But I did foresee... what was going to happen to the ranch because there was foreshadowing in another episode or whatever. So I'm happy with all, how all that played out. But again, it was so outlandish. It's so wild. It's so insane. And I was tearing up.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is wrong with me?
The finale was the best and the worst of what Yellowstone was.
It was
really good. And I became a Lainey Wilson fan.
Oh, yeah. She was great.
A couple episodes, man.
As soon as you said that, because she is featured in the fifth season and then comes back there in the towards the last episode as they're like tying up loose ends and people's storylines. But man, son of a gun! I was just like,
gotcha.
Oh. And my husband is doing what he does because whenever I'm watching something I really like, Bart will come in the room. Oh my God, it's so annoying. And he will stand there and he'll put his hands on his hips and he'll stand in the middle of the room watching. And then something crazy happened on the screen and he just looked at me with disgust.
Like condescending. It's, like, how could this touch you in any way?
He is judging me so, so hard. And I'm just like, I need you to leave. Let me watch my story. I need you to leave because I am invested and I have to see this all the way through.
That's the exact same look I have when I walk in the room and Amanda is watching Emily in Paris.
Oh. Well, now that you're done with Yellowstone, you've got to do his new show next. You have to watch Landman on Paramount Plus.
Yeah, that's great.
You do get a week free, so I had to watch as many episodes as possible with that 7-day free trial because I was like, I'm not paying for Paramount Plus.
It's really good. Yeah. It's really good. Anything Taylor Sheridan is doing, I'm in on.
He's killing it.
Yeah.
All right, Rolling Stone just put out the 250 greatest albums of the 21st century so far, and I do feel like the top five is very uncontroversial. I feel like recently we've had some lists where we're like, how are you going to put that album or that song at the top of the list? So here's the top five. In fifth place, we have Taylor Swift with Folklore. But I can see us lost in the memory. Pockets slipped away into a moment in time. In fourth place, we have Outkast with Stank on Ya. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Ooh, I am for real. Never. Third place goes to Frank Ocean with Blonde. The way every day goes, every time we've no control. If the sky is pink and white. Second place is Radiohead with Kid A.
What's that?
I don't know.
And then in first place, it should be no surprise that Beyonce's Lemonade got the top spot.
God, this is such a good album.
Fire.
Yeah, absolutely no controversy here. I feel like they've had a really good top five with the 250 greatest albums of the 21st century so far. Stephen Boss's stepdaughter is speaking out in the wake of her mother's memoirs controversy. I'm going to tell you who she's siding with on your next eBuzz on the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.